is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Well, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Digney. And we're turning to God's Word instead of the world around us to find out, what does real love look like? Where do I find it? How do I keep it alive? And how do I put it into practice? What would it look like? And when you dig into God's Word, it is so radically different than what the world around us continues to sing and scream and portray to us. Real love. Real love. So let's dig some more. You realize real love is rooted in God's commands far more than your own fickle feelings. Feelings come and go. But if love was just a feeling, there's no way that God should command us to love. Because it'd be like, I either have it or I don't. You can't command me to love. It's either there or it's not. But because we've seen from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7, that love is an action. Love has feet on it. Love gets moving. It's not just a feeling. And in fact, I would tell you, very often, if you're thinking, well, I don't want to do any of those love things, those actions, until I feel it, because I don't want to do things that I don't feel. Do you realize the Bible is not against that? In fact, the Bible commends that relentlessly. And we're going to talk about that some more. You see, when you say, I can't love her, I can't love her, I can't love him, you're actually saying, I can't obey God, because love is commanded relentlessly in the scriptures. God doesn't ask us to do things we can't do. In other words, it'd be more accurate to say, you know what? I will not love him. I will not love her. I don't want to. God never commands anything of his children that he does not supply both the directions and the power to achieve. And here's what's really going on. Real love is a choice that has to be made again and again and again in real time, in a real home, with a real spouse, up close, seeing their flaws. Think about it. Love is easy at the first, the beginning, when you're in love and you're still in that honeymoon season. And at the last, as you slow down and you've been together so long, decades, that you just simply know each other so well and enjoy just being in each other's presence, even if there's silence. The first and the last are not that hard. It's effortless in the honeymoon stage, right? When you're infatuated with each other, touchy, talkative, and smitten. And love, towards the end, is like breathing for the old couple who are decades into a mature love that has been aged to perfection like a fine wine. But it's those years in between. And I suspect that most of you listening are those years in between. I doubt very many people who just got married are listening, because you have that sweet season initially of like, problem? What problem? And typically after decades together, you don't have the questions that you have up front. You've settled into something that is, oh, so different than what you had at the beginning. It is not infatuation at all. It is rich, robust, mature, Christ-like love, as our roots have grown towards each other underground in the ordinary days that turned into weeks, that turned into months, that turned into years, as we preferred each other, as we chose to be patient and kind and not rude and not irritable and to not keep a record of wrong that we have against our spouse. And guess what showed up? Love grew in that context. And feelings followed in that context. But those middle years, that's where the challenge comes. Love in the midst of building a career, raising kids, establishing a life, and facing trials. Those are the long years when love has to be worked at and even fought for. Those are the years when early infatuation is matured into the old couple in effortless union. Those are the years when love is won or lost. So think about it. Don't put off working on your marriage. Don't say, oh, we're so busy right now, raising kids, starting a career, climbing the corporate ladder, making plans for that next home that we want. We have so many other thoughts that are closer to the top of our priority list. We'll wait. I know the marriage isn't all that I wish it was, but we'll just wait. Oh, listen to me. Don't wait. Don't wait. It's in these middle years that you learn love, that you cultivate love, that begin to propel you and put you on a path that moves you towards that older couple who just delight in being in each other's presence. I used the word choice just a moment ago, that love, real love, is a choice that can be made, in fact, has to be made again and again. And so if you're thinking, Brad, where do you get that kind of talk? Choice? Well, I get it from God's word. Once again, world doesn't talk this way. Movies don't talk this way. God's word does. Let me give you a passage that puts it in these kind of terms for sure. It's Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Listen to what God's word says. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Here we are again. This is not the famous 1 Corinthians 13 love chapter, but it's just another chapter in the Bible that's bringing us again a definition of love and a calling towards love that is not what we learned from the world. Put on, then. You're like, what are you talking about, Paul? It's something I can put on? Yeah, it is. Put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. You're like, what in the world? It's something I can put on? This is a game changer if you can get a hold of this. You think, picture it this way. You step into your walk-in closet and you take a look at your shirts, or you take a look at your skirts and your blouses, and you decide what you're going to put on that day. Do you realize God is talking to us in those same kind of terms regarding love? Consider reaching towards the closet of how you relate to your mate and grabbing the blouse or the shirt of love. And you take it off the hanger and you slip your arms into the sleeves and you button it all up and you put it on. I am going to choose today to put on love, because it's far more than a feeling. See, when you put it on, it means I'm going to choose to do what real love is. I put it on because I'm going to choose to extend patience, be patient, wait. I'm going to be kind. I will not be rude. I'm not going to be quick to be irritable, and I'm not going to mark it in my mind everything they do wrong today. That's how you put on love. Put on, and he says, above all, this is the thing that changes relationships the most. This is the thing that moves you onto a radically different path. When you begin to understand, you can put on love. Some of you are waiting around to feel it, waiting around for like lightning to strike, waiting around for some spectacular feeling like you've never had before to explode inside you. That's not going to happen. But you can reach out and lay hold of that shirt or blouse of love, and you can put it on, button it up, tuck it in, and head into your day saying, I choose to love them. I'm going to put it on. Put on love. And then he says in verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. I love it right there. The original word in the Greek is a word, that word rule, that meant to umpire, to call. Picture baseball, that umpire behind home plate that's calling balls and strikes. In other words, the peace of Christ, you want the peace of Christ to determine what you should be thinking and believing as it zooms in and out of your mind all day long. You have multiple thoughts all day long. I want the peace of Christ to umpire my heart, to say, nope, that's out, that's out, that's a ball. I shouldn't keep thinking that. I shouldn't keep thinking that. I need to believe and think what God says, that I can put it on and that he will love me, that I will not run out of love, not because my spouse will always give as much back, but because he never stops loving me. Oh, we're talking about real love. And that is more than a feeling. It's something you can choose to put on. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we'll keep walking through this passage to more to find out what does it look like to put it on.
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad in just a moment. But man, what he just said about putting on love like you put on a shirt, that's not the kind of thing you hear with most marriage advice, is it? If you've been married more than 18 months, you probably know exactly what Brad means about those middle years, that place where the butterflies, they've all settled down. Real life has kicked in. And when you're both just like worn down and tired, choosing patience kind of feels like actual work. I know, I've been there and I'm still there a lot of times. Maybe that's you as well. And maybe you picked up this podcast hoping that something actually works instead of just sounding nice. That's exactly why we've built Fortis Plus. For people who need truth that they can actually use. It's completely free. We add 7 new pieces of content every single day on top of the hundreds of hours of audio and video content already loaded on Fortis Plus. And honestly, it's designed for moments just like what Brad is talking about. You can get Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org right now, or you can download the app absolutely free of charge from the place where you download your apps. Again, completely free. You're never going to hit a paywall. You're never going to be asked for your credit card. You're never going to be told that it's a free trial or anything like that. Completely, totally free, fortisplus.org. Now, here's the thing. Content like this doesn't just happen. There's a reason that it is free. We've been at this for over 25 years, and every single episode and every resource that we've been able to create, it all depends on people who believe this stuff matters enough to invest in. Not because it's trendy, but because marriages and families are worth fighting for. So if Pastor Brad's words land with you today, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And I always say this, if your local church comes first, no question about it, you need to be giving faithfully there, because that should be your primary source of nourishment. And if you are giving faithfully there at your local church and you have room to come alongside what we're doing, we would be grateful to lock arms with you. You can learn more about what it would look like in your life at fortisinstitute.org. That's fortisinstitute.org. But here's what we've learned over 25 years. When people have tools that actually work in real marriages with real problems, everything changes. Not just for them, but for their kids who are watching, for their churches, for the whole mess of relationships that are around them. It's true. It has a ripple effect. Now, let's get back to Pastor Brad as he continues to unpack what it looks like to choose love when feelings aren't exactly doing the heavy lifting. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
We're talking about putting on love because the Bible teaches us that it's a choice. It's an action and it's a choice. It's an action and it's a choice. And it's possible because of Jesus Christ living inside you, who loves you and loves you and loves you. And it gives to you daily what is undeserved and unexpected, undeserved and unexpected. And then he simply says, now. do that horizontally. Extend that horizontally to your spouse. You see, genuine biblical love doesn't just happen. It's not the stuff that country singers sing about on the radio, the idea of suddenly being struck by love or falling out of love. That's nowhere found in the Bible. In fact, because that is the case, what the Bible actually teaches, if it's an action and it's a choice, guess what? It can be learned. You can go to school and learn to love. Go to school and learn to love. It can be taught. There was an article in the paper that I saw talking about marriage between two TV stars. I don't know that they were even Christians, but I was struck by what she said. It said they were introduced by a friend on an airplane and they got married 2 months later, real quick. And she says, quote, "It was infatuation, so we had to learn to love each other. We did our courting after marriage. I discovered he wasn't Prince Charming, and he discovered I wasn't Cinderella. If we hadn't been married, the relationship probably wouldn't have worked." Now, you hear what she's saying? So often in our world, people tend to think, oh, I'm getting out. I got to get out. This isn't going to work because I don't feel it. She's actually indicating the same thing I brought you in an earlier show from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, that you can keep love alive because of the marriage commitment. She's like, we probably wouldn't have stayed together. It wouldn't have worked if we had not been married. It would have ended. We learned how to talk in our 4 years together. She admits that that initial thing that struck them both on that airplane that led to them getting married in 2 months was infatuation. But then she said, we had to learn to love each other. You realize that's the reason when you dig into statistics, if you're interested at all, countries that have arranged marriages, I don't know what you think. I don't know if you think, oh, that would never work. That would never work. That would never work. You mean I didn't choose them? I didn't have these amazing feelings that led me to ask them to marry them? Guess what you find when you dig into it? The divorce rate in countries that largely have arranged marriages. Here's your bride. The family chose her for you. The family chose him for you. Do just as well, if not better. And here's why. It was never based on feelings to begin with. It was based on commitment. And then in the context of a commitment called marriage, they learned to love each other. The Bible talks this way also in Titus chapter 2. Paul calls the older women to help the younger women. And he says this, the older women likewise, I want them to be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And I want them to admonish. And the word admonish right there was a Greek word that meant train or teach. I want them to teach the young women to love their husbands. It can be taught. It can be learned because it's a choice and it's an action first and foremost before it's a feeling. In fact, my own story with my parents and Vicky's story with her parents, we both have parents who married quickly. And we tend to think, oh, that's a recipe for disaster. You don't even hardly know each other. My parents were married within months of meeting each other. And then my dad was in the Air Force, and so he drug her from Chattanooga, Tennessee, all the way to Sacramento, California. She doesn't know anybody, and all they had was each other, this stranger that she has said, I do. And guess what? My dad passed away this past year, but they were married 63 years because they learned to love each other after they made a commitment to each other. The story with Vicky's parents is very similar. Married quickly and then stayed married, I believe, longer than my parents, 65 years. And I'm telling you what, not years of misery. They loved each other. It was evident. Love is a choice because love is an action before it's a feeling. And that means love can be learned. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. We're taught, and it's something that we can choose. We can put it on. In fact, he calls us to put it on. Whether you feel it or not, just keep putting it on. And if you continue to put it on, it's far more likely that you will begin to feel it. That's the danger. When we stop feeling it quite as much as we did, we tend to pull back and say, oh, I'm not feeling it, so I guess I shouldn't do it. And we don't pull it off the hanger, and we don't put it on. Listen to how the Message paraphrase captures these verses. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Isn't that good? So he's saying God has a wardrobe picked out for you. And when you come to faith in Christ, you need to start going to that new closet and putting it on. Dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. That's how he chose to translate that verse. But above all else, put on love. And regardless of what else you put on, it doesn't matter what else you choose to put on in your marriage. Above all else, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Oh, I love that. It is your basic, all-purpose garment. You realize it doesn't matter what stage or phase you are in your marriage. This garment of love is essential. In the early years, put it on. In the middle years, when you're busy and your life is filled with all that ordinary, do the next thing, put it on. And in those later years, put it on. Don't ever stop putting this on. It is your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Never be without it. That's really good. Because this is what keeps feelings alive. You can learn it. You can choose it. And then feelings will follow. We're talking about real love as opposed to infatuation. As opposed to what the world points to and calls us to chase after. Oh, I remember one time seeing in a newspaper, some young man had taken out a full page ad to ask this young lady to marry him. And here's what it said. I still remember seeing it and thinking, Chris can't fight this feeling deep inside of him. Robin, you just don't realize what you do to him. Chris is hooked on a feeling. Robin, will you marry me? Now, that might have seemed flattering on one level, that here's a full-page ad. But guess what? If Robin knows anything about God's word, and if Robin knows anything about the human heart, whoo, Robin needs to run. I mean run from Chris. Because what he has said is not what will sustain a marriage. This is not what will keep someone in a marriage with the same person. Notice it's all about him. And it's all about a feeling that he can't fight. Well, guess what? What's going to keep you moving towards Robin when that feeling isn't so explosive and you're not hooked on it? The Bible teaches something far better that will keep you together for decades. In stark contrast to that, the Bible teaches that love is an action. It's a choice. It can be learned. And you can watch roots grow closer together underground after years and years and years of giving to the needs of another, expecting nothing in return. C.S. Lewis has this helpful commentary about love when he says it would be quite wrong to think that the way to become loving is to sit trying to manufacture feelings. Some people are cold by temperament, and that may be misfortune for them. But it's no more a sin than having a bad digestion is sin, and it does not cut them off from the chance or excuse them from the duty of learning love. It's obvious that C.S. Lewis has been reading his Bible. We have the duty of learning love, and it starts not with a list. I'm grateful for 1 Corinthians 13 and the list. It starts with a person, Jesus Christ, in a relationship with him, settling in with him, delighting in him, and then saying, all right, Lord, that love you keep pouring out on me, I will choose to extend it to my spouse. I will put on love.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.